A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the nation's favourite podcast, Insane in the Membrane.
Insane in the Membrane.
I'm just back from the Edinburgh Festival, just decompressing from the month that's been very successful, yet very tiring. Been amazing, actually. It's been really cool. I caught our guest, this week's guest, up in Edinburgh, Mr. Elliot Steele. His dad is Mark Steele. Comic that I've known and loved for many years, and Elliot is fast becoming one of the nation's best comics out there. He's doing really well. I caught him in the Pleasance Dome early one morning. We've been very sensible, actually. We hadn't been out, we hadn't been drinking. We took it as very grown up. We had a lovely meeting and a lovely chat, and I think you'll enjoy this one. Again, a very honest, very open conversation that we had. So here we are, Elliot Steele.
I find it up here, especially up here. Yeah. I had a moment yesterday, kind of imposter syndrome. Like, you know, because like I do, you know, I work the clubs.
Yeah.
So when you're up here, it's a different beast, and you got to learn different skills. So I had a moment yesterday going, I shouldn't be here. But I'm all right now.
You get yourself through it, like?
Yeah. I think, just stop. I had a good show, and then I think that's what I was like. No, this is all right. Actually, this is fine. You know?
Yeah, it's the difference like a good show can make. But everyone gets the imposter syndrome, I think, at some point up here. But like, it just depends on the day when you hit it. Mm. Do you know what I mean? You don't want it to hit like during. You don't want it to hit during a show.
No.
You want it to hit before, and then you have a good show afterwards. You don't want it after the show.
Halfway through. Oh, sorry, everyone.
Yeah, I should just get back to the docks or whatever the fuck it is I did before.
Yeah. Ringing up the bus company, can I have my old job back?
You end up getting a flyering job up here. Cause you don't,
that's all I deserve.
Yeah, just fly for someone else's show.
Someone who I deem to be better.
Yeah.
I know. It's funny, yesterday I was on my way, I was walking to my show, and I got out of the car and I was walking across the road, and I just happened to look at my phone went as I was crossing, and then suddenly I'm like, I didn't even realise, this cyclist pulls up next to me. He goes, mate, he goes, you're in the middle of the fucking road. Get off your fucking phone. Instead of me going, yeah, you're right, actually. You're right, absolutely, 100%. I went, oh, you fuck off, you wanker.
Oh,
and then me and him were getting into it, and he's riding away, and he's going, I have to deal with this shit every fucking day. And I'm going, yeah, but, you know, get out of my way. And I go, there's a car there, mate, be fucking careful. Yeah. And we're doing that. And then I got to my gig, I went, no, absolutely, he was right.
Yeah, man, there's nothing worse than that, like, moment where I did it a few weeks ago with there was a neighbour who's been doing some drilling all through the day. Mm. And I went round with every intention of being polite. Mm. I don't know this neighbour, it was round my mum's place, right? Yeah, so I stay at my mum's for a bit. So I don't know this neighbour. I go around, knock on the door, and I'm like, oh, you're right, mate. And I was just like, look, I'm trying to chill out, and you've been drilling all day. And then he goes, I was like, you know, sometimes I like sleep during the day, getting late from gigs. And he went, oh, you're not asleep now. And I went, all right, cool, how about I'll go around and make a load of fucking noise. And then I just ended up in this yelling match, had to be separated. And then I went home and was like, he was absolutely in the room. He's allowed to do DIY during the day.
Exactly.
Like, and I went to my gig and I was just feeling terrible about myself for the fact that no matter how zen and stuff you think you are, in that moment of like, when you're pissed off as a guy and another guy, like, I always have it like, if someone on the scale of going towards a fight, if someone takes it to a 3 of like gives you a little dig, I'll go to a 10. I shouldn't have that attitude. I shouldn't take it to that far. But that guy in the cyclist thing, if he just, at the same time, if he'd just gone to you like, dude, you're in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it's the way they say it. If someone's aggressive to you, you are going to go on your back foot and you are going to get aggressive back because that's natural. And that's, I would argue, that's actually quite a good thing.
Yeah.
Because you've got to, you know, as a guy a lot of the time, like, if people get aggressive towards you, you should be able to sort of push back and be like, whoa, you can't push me about here.
Yeah.
Even though it's over something that you're in the wrong for.
Yeah. There's a way of doing it. Yeah, like you say, people just come up and go, dude, mate, listen, you're going to get killed.
Exactly. Have you ever had like it with like a doorman or something where a doorman has been sound in not letting you, or like just going like, listen, man, you've had too much to drink.
Yeah.
I can't let you in.
Yeah.
And you go, all right then.
Yeah.
But
when they
go, not coming in, pal, and give you a little shove. That's when
straight away.
It's like you will then get in that aggression nature back and then lose because it's a professional. It's a professional dickhead. There and win.
He knows what he's doing. Yeah. No, you're right, man. Yeah, and it's right, but it's just that it's those old, from, you know, it's those, they're in you, aren't they? Those defence mechanisms.
Yeah.
And like you say, sometimes they come out in the wrong place. Like you know, just in general, like you'd be at home. And a partner will, you know, they'll just say to you like, "Oh, you said you were being for dinner at this time. Now it's fuck." You know, they've been. You forget that, like maybe they've been grafting all day.
Yeah.
And then you know they've got their own shit going on, and then you come in and they've taken the time to go, "I was going to make us a nice meal," and then you've gone, "Oh, you know, you come in and then you kick off and it's all." I mean, I've used to do that a lot.
Really? Yeah. We're just going in sort of like a. Your day would be taken out on someone else. Luckily, because my dad's never around, I still live with him. I just end up yelling at people on PlayStation Online and Fortnite, just taking it out on some little French kid who's trying his best to build a fort. Come on, Pierre, you little cunt, fucking sort this out.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people do that. They use online stuff.
Yeah,
it's a vent, man.
We were just talking about it.
Yeah.
You're having a bit of trouble with it,
mate,
aren't you?
All I've done, like I said to you, I boosted a post for my Edinburgh poster so more people will see it. And on it says, in quotes, woke feminist geezer. And that's a quote from someone else. So I thought that'd be quite nice to put on the poster. Mate, the amount of abuse that's come my way. I'm saying yesterday, it's a quote. There's quote marks. Yeah. It's someone else said it about me. And they're going, get your agenda off my wall, do this, do that. Like, and now, like I said to you, it's fallen into this. Now they're now arguing now on about genital mutilation. And all I did was post a fucking picture.
just trying to get people to come see your jokes.
Come see my jokes, mate. I talk about my penis for a bit.
Has it been mutilated?
Well, nearly.
But that's it, man. Those people aren't angry. Like I said, those people aren't angry about your poster. They weren't having a good day.
No, and then they
saw your poster and went, well, that's ruined it. I was having a good day. And then I saw Rich Wilson described as a woke feminist geezer. And now they're angry about other things. And men, like, I know just because I'm one, like, we do not process what we're really angry about.
No, exactly.
We don't do that.
No.
So... we'll find a load of things that will annoy us, and then we'll find something that we can vent at. And I don't really post too much online and stuff because I think what online has done is it has given a voice, and it's actually very small. I think the majority are always quiet.
Yes.
I think it's really important to remember that when talking about online, like when you see all these arguments and stuff going on. You know, you talking about like all these things. If you were to ask most people in the street, they're like, I don't give a fuck.
I don't care about this stuff.
But what it's done is given a voice to like a group of people who have been picked on in life, who haven't had their things, and now they can say horrific things from the comfort of knowing they're not going to get a smack.
Yeah.
So that guy who's cycling earlier, the reason you two didn't end up in a fight is because, you know, even though the bigger primal brain's like, well, this guy's going to pull me up on something. This guy, but you know, if he'd seen that, cycled off, found you on Twitter and then tweeted it to you, he'd be a bit like, why didn't you say it to my face, you pussy? So that's what I think online has done, is it's given his voice to people who... You're not going to win an argument online. No one's going to back down and actually go, do you know what? Rich Wilson was actually a woke feminist geezer. I was wrong about that. They just want to vent. You know,
of course they do.
Get their anger out there.
Yeah. But you do martial arts.
Yeah, Muay Thai.
So, yeah, and being a, because you grew up in Thornton East.
Yeah. Very different part of Thornton East to Stormzy, let me point out.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, let's not lie, who's my dad? But
Very true. So you went round, so where, because I know, I sort of know the area, you got the, round the ponds.
Oh, no, I'm different side of the ponds, like, so I'm down by the Tesco.
Oh, I know.
That's still a very, bit.
Yeah. Right, it's on the edge, so you can see the fighting.
Yeah. Do you know what, Fulton Heath's fired, like, the weirdest thing, right, I've ever, the maddest thing I ever saw in Fulton Heath, I was coming back from sparring one time, because I'm Thai gym's down in Fulton Heath, really good Muay Thai gym, coming back from sparring, like, really good spar, and I saw crackheads, because there's crackheads that hang outside the station, and like, even as I describe this now, I still can't really believe that I saw it.
Yeah.
There was one, this massive one, but he was wearing one light up shoe and then one light dress shoe.
What?
Was in this, they were in this massive argument and he punched one of the other crackers, which I thought was a bloke, but it turned out it was a woman.
No.
And like, I went down and like, you know, I'm like, man, you can't go around hitting women. But I ain't gonna lie, he was so big and so crazy, I looked at that and just went, I've just come back from learning how to fight, and I went, fuck this. I went straight home. I was like, don't get involved in, no matter how much you train, you ain't beating a crackhead. You can throw Mayweather into a ring. If you've got crackhead in the ring, it's a different beast.
They just switched it, off all over again. I remember, it's funny, every time I see a crackhead, and I know they're people, and I know they've made some bad choices.
Come on, when you're wearing one dress-up suit and one light-up suit, I don't have to stand there and be like, well, they've come from a different upbringing, and you've just knocked a woman out of Fort Heath Street.
Exactly.
I'm allowed to tell that story in a podcast and laugh.
They're always in a rush as well, crackheads. Where are you going?
You've got three places you hang out.
Are you looking for your other light-up show? What's going on?
Yeah, I do. I've been with martial arts. If you train at a good gym, so the gym I train at is what I'd sort of describe as a fight gym. It's like, we want to make people who fight, who go out and compete, things like that. If you want to come here and get a bit fitter and stuff, that's cool as well. Yeah. They provide... There's a lot of people there, like, there's one of the second in charge, a man named Mark Goodridge. He's very good with, like, a lot of the younger kids in their mental health. There's a few kids in there who've definitely gone down the wrong path. And a few of the older kids have as well.
Yeah.
And there's a guy in my gym, don't want to name names, but was turning up to people's houses and taking money. He's now a really good Muay Thai fighter and changed his life. So, but it's interesting that's a lot of young men, what they have. So they've got the thing of where they've got a few, you know, kids from Fort Neath who are coming in with problems. But they give them discipline.
Yes.
And if you give young men a discipline, they change.
Yeah.
There is something, because I don't think men are very good with freedom, per se. I've got to be careful when talking about it, because I think you should challenge authority. I think you should, you know, look
absolutely
at things
yeah.
like, this is bullshit. But if you have routine as a man, you fall in. That's why the army does it the way they do it, because they know they can take people off the street who are just doing fuck all with their lives and then make them trained killers who are going to blindly follow orders. So if you can, like, somehow find a way to do that, which I have had to at points in my life, where get up at this time, you drink your water, you have your protein shake, you head to the gym, you learn this. And what martial art also does as well, I think, if you train at a good gym, it teaches you that people who do not look like they can kick the shit out of you will kick the shit out of you. And that just makes you a little bit more wary
in that.
I think one of the things... I want to be careful when saying this. Like, I see it with my little sister. She's very mouthy.
Right.
She mouths off a lot. And I'm like, that's because no one's just turned around and smacked you in the face. You've gotten away with this. I remember in school, like, I used to mouth off a lot and fight for shit. And you get hit a couple of times. I probably should have shut up.
Well, Tom Stage used to do a bit about that. He said, He said, yeah, exactly that. The reason people get mouthy and get, you know, they can just say what they want to say is because they've never been punched in the head.
Oh, man, yeah.
Listen, that we grew up with that. I certainly grew up with that. There was always the threat of violence. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but there was always the threat of, yeah, if you, listen, you did that again, you're going to get this.
I think as well, it's like, it's good to learn, as you, I think, like, there's certain things with, and I think masculinity can be bad with, right? Mm. That masculinity can cause drain on my health. But I think there's certain parts of it where you have to play to the strengths of masculinity,
of what
we really are in our nature. And that is, men, if you look at the outliers, the very basics of it, it's very good of like, we should protect, we should provide.
That's right, yes.
And that's very good. And you should learn how to protect, you should learn how to provide. And what's interesting in a gym is there's a comedian, Nabil Abdullah Rashid, who trains at my gym.
Okay, yeah.
And he has a bit more of a philosophy of like, I'm an immigrant. Mm. I have to learn how to protect my family.
Yeah.
I have to learn to do this stuff. And it's interesting that the ideas that different cultures bring to that and like their ideas of masculinity, where he will come here and go like, I've got two daughters and a wife.
Mm.
Someone kicks in my door.
Yeah.
I'm the one who's going to have to defend it.
Yeah, you're in a different place. You don't know that. You don't know. It's a strange world.
Yeah.
Of course you're gonna have to.
So that like, and what you're saying about the threat of violence, I think you can tap into something that does bring you good. And I also think when you learn something like a martial art, don't get me wrong, there's going to be a few dickheads out there.
Yeah, of course there are. Yeah.
But when you learn it, I carry myself in a way now. I've not got into a fight since I've learned Muay Thai, but I've got into altercations with people.
Mm.
I had someone try like take my headphones with a bottle, still didn't come to blows, because you carry yourself in a way of like, I don't really, once you take a stance, a lot of people go, ah, oh, shit.
Yeah, like, if you come at it calm and go.
Calm and, also, like, I'm kind of glad I've not got in one, because I'd hate to get in one and then lose and find out I've been spending 80 quid a month and not learn anything.
And I've now got to buy new headphones.
And got to buy new headphones,
But it's, I mean, it's definitely. But that's what I've seen about a lot of, even with boxing. I used to go to Elton Boys Club when I was a really little kid. And like you said, teaching you about discipline and teaching you, it's not about attacking.
It's about
diffusing a situation, you know, calmly. It doesn't have to result. You've got that if someone does attack you, but it's not about that. But like I said, about the discipline and respecting the other people.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like in my room, like you know me, like I'm sort of mouthy 22-year-old. Like to say to 22-year-old, like, I've got a voice chatting shit, but. In my gym, I don't speak out of turn. No. I always bow. I have my hands behind my back when I'm spoken to. The master, I always refer to him as Master Sam. Like, you have to do that.
Yeah.
And that's, then if you can, what's it called? There's like a bathhouse, is it? It's like a type of architecture.
Okay.
Where it's very odd, but what they sort of worked out like is that from the very basics of something, it's basically you can apply it to a lot of things.
Mm.
And I think what something like a martial art does for me is I can take the basic philosophies of it and apply it to everything. So I can apply it to stand up. I can apply it to day-to-day life.
Yeah.
You know, the respectful thing, this, that, and the other. And the other thing is when you're fighting, like in my gym, you'll get hit hard in sparring.
Mm.
And you can ask people to tone it down a bit, but that only helps so much.
Yeah.
You then learn how to be calm in a situation you don't want to be in.
Mm.
So yesterday I had 10 people in my show. I wanted a full room, but I had the best show I've had because I just went, this is what's going on. You've got to be calm with it.
That's right.
You've got to walk on. And that sort of logic you can then apply to everything.
Yeah, man.
And I think it's the same with something like stand-up. You can take the things you do in stand-up and apply them to other things. Just no one does. No one does. No. Like, but martial art is a lot more. There's a lot of. If you walk into my gym, you'll see a lot of quotes and stuff on the wall.
Yeah,
and you're like,
oh,
what's all this for? And that, and then, you know, because I want to be cynical about it. But then you actually realise, like, oh yeah, these are just, even though they're basic quotes and things, when you apply them two situations. Like when you're in a fight, wait, so you're in a spa and you're being hit hard, and there's another 2 minutes to go. You don't want to be there. You want to be. You just all you think is like, I want to get home, put my feet up, have a cup of tea. It's just cunts throwing head kicks.
Yeah, this is the supposed to be sparring.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, this is the polar opposite of what I want. But then you come through it, and you're like, I'm all right.
Yeah, I'm all right.
So much of it is mental. And that's why there was a kickboxer a couple of years ago. He got into trouble because as people doing job interviews and stuff in there, and we're talking about kicking each other's heads in.
That's why we were dropping C-bombs just now. We're in a public place.
I mean, fuck him, they've just said to me, so I can fight. No, it's completely the wrong attitude, isn't it?
Sit down. Ah, it's gone. Really sorry.
But what was I saying?
So about quotes on the walls.
Quotes on the wall and things like that. You can apply the philosophies of it to a lot of things.
Yeah.
And that's what's definitely helped me, especially when I've come very hedonistic, because when I did not have discipline, I would go out, drink and take drugs.
Yes.
And do what I now know is male self-harm.
Mm.
Men won't, like, I used to self-harm as a kid a little bit, but that was more of an attention thing. Was more, and then I picked up a microphone. Then I started getting enough attention. You go,
oh, that's fine,
yeah. But then I would find that, even though I thought I was over self-harm, actually what I was doing was I was going out and I was taking cocaine, I was drinking too much, and I was always looking for a party, and then I would find, even though I'd do that, I would have to try pull girls because that would get me the fulfillment that I thought I was missing.
Yes.
That was where that was.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to go down that road because it's a lot of fucking fun. That's what nobody says when
you switch off all your proper feelings and you just feel elated.
Yeah, that's what nobody says this about cocaine. It's fucking great.
It's so good. I know.
It's great.
Yeah. You forget. It's so good. You forget it's illegal.
Yeah. Exactly. So I was going down that road, and then the problem with that is that was coming my philosophy. So I was then letting that spill over into everything. So stand up, hardly turning up to 10 people yesterday, and I've been, oh, fuck this. Yeah, I just want to go out and get pissed on. Whereas now it's different, but I'm glad I did that.
Yes.
I because I think no matter how bad you mess up and stuff, if you come back from it, you come back so much, is it stronger? You come back a bit more, and you realize a lot more about yourself. You're like, I did have a fall and a hurdle then. You should have a support group of people you can talk to.
Yes.
But I think your support group should pull you up on stuff. You have to sort
it
out.
Absolutely. That's what I've noticed about you, because you've got, because I know your group of mates, and I especially in recent times, you've had some in your friend group, you've had some really heavy shit to deal with.
We could talk about that.
We could
talk about it. We just got not say names.
But that's so important. It's we'll carry on we'll get to that in a minute, because that's a really interesting thing I want to talk about.
Right, yeah, of course.
But applying, like you had 10 people in the other day and you still played it like you were at the O2. I had 2 people And again, I was like, what's the point? And then suddenly I went, no, they've paid money. They've come away from whatever they were doing and they've gone, let's go and see this. And then who am I to turn around and go, what's the point? So again, like you, I played it like it was the O2.
Yeah.
And they were lovely. They were really nice. Well, I can't remember there were a couple, one of them was originally from Lincoln, the other one was from Surrey, but they've been together a long time. Lovely, lovely people. And I did the gig, I got quite an epic ending.
Right,
so there's like this lights come on and these heavenly sounds and then all this stuff. So it's quite the show. And there's a line I say that the techie knows as soon as I say the line to set it all off. So I get to that bit and then I'm like, and I'm like, all right.
The jets are about to do their flyby.
So I'm like, I remember there was a moment, and I'd had a lovely gig, I'd had a lovely time, and then I had to say the line, and just before I said it, I went, and then I did it, and then all the lights go off, and I've got 2 people from Lincoln just sat there like, all right. But you have to do it, it's
respect
for those people.
And it's respect, and also like, it's like I said, that's that moment in sparring. You don't want to be there. You know them lights are about to come. You don't want to do it. Like, you're going to come out so much better from it. It's hard to see it at the time. Hard to see it at the time. Like, I had it with, like, a couple of years ago. I messed up a fringe because I was going out. Doing that. The show went bad. I just wasn't in love with it. And, like, I was fucking up.
You're up here in a city where you're all your mates, and you can go... You can walk 10 feet and you'll bump into someone and go, ah, let's have a drink.
Yeah, and also I came into comedy in a way of, like, I came in through my dad, I came in stuff. I hadn't actually grafted.
No.
I hadn't.
How was that with you, growing up with your dad being Mark Steele? Did you want to be a comedian?
Yeah, absolutely. The thing is, my dad is, me and my dad, we're really good mates.
Yeah.
Because we're both comedians.
Yeah. Well, I've seen that when we played football.
I wouldn't say our father and son relations.
No. But as comics, we really get on. Do you know what I mean? Like,
mutual respect.
Yeah. So, like, we are. So, I did up with it. But my dad was I didn't really live with my mum at all from the ages of about 11 to 18.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of history there. My mum was a nice person. She means well. Batshit crazy.
Right.
And so I was living at my dad's in Fulton Heath, but he'd go away on tour.
Okay.
So I was just always sort of on my, I didn't really have too much guidance per se. And so he would come back and be like, what the fuck are you doing? So then when I went back to live at my mum's when I was 16, because my dad moved in with his wife down in Brighton. And then I didn't really want to live in Brighton. So I was living back around my mum's, and I was going to sixth form, but I went to a really, like, I got decent grades, I went into a good sixth form, but I had no, this was a very disciplined place.
Yeah.
Their way of instilling discipline wasn't a way that was ever going to work with me. Mm. It was like, you have to answer to authority because da da da. But I was very good at pointing out, but this bit of authority doesn't make sense.
Yes, right,
You can't just have authority because I say so. For me, I think for authority to truly work, I have to respect you.
That's right, yeah.
And that's why when I go to a Muay Thai gym, there's a guy there, Wilco, he fights on Bellator, really one of the top fighters in, like, the UK. He is the calmest person you'll ever meet. And then when you look at his backstory, he moved to Portugal as a young kid from a country from Africa, grew up in, like, a place where it was just full of drug dealers and horrific, then came over here. He's had to fight for something for his life.
Yeah, right.
I have 3 types of hummus in my fridge at home, which I have not got anything to fight for, so I was lost. Do you know what I mean? I was in that sort of place where I could just walk around and be like, oh, fuck this, and be cynical.
Yeah.
And I did that up until that Edinburgh that I had.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? I was cynical. I was fucking, oh, okay, it doesn't matter. I've got a good agent. I've got this. And then I fucked up.
Mm.
But it's a good thing I did. I did it at a young age. I can recover from it, you know? So that's, as long as you... I think as long as you try to improve, like, you're allowed to fuck up.
Of course.
Within reason, like, you're a paedophile. I know I was getting with 9-year-olds, but they're now 14. No. I mean, like, do you know what I mean? I mean, like, you had a night out when you shouldn't have had a night out.
Yes.
Kind of messing up.
Yeah, killed a man. There's loads more.
Yeah. Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This show is made by Dark Horse Digital. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.
So that's, yeah, so that, you know, but that's the thing, isn't it? You, like you say, you can fuck up. And we all have. But you learn from it. If you keep doing it, then there's obviously
an issue. Yeah. There's an underlying issue, and I think we in this culture are very good at. Like, I always, I don't like the term toxic masculinity. Like, I don't use it in my show this year. I refuse to use it because it's such a broad term. It's, I think it was a good term when it was coined up, but I think, like, any of these things, it's now, like, used for anything. Like, if you're a guy, you just sit down on a chair on a tube and you spread out a little bit. Yeah. Oh, your man's spreading toxic masculinity. Yeah, it's like, fuck off.
Come on,
like,
man.
It's like when people, like, overuse the term gaslighting or things like that now. It's like, that's a really serious form of emotional abuse that you're talking about. Just because your boyfriend thought you was yelling doesn't mean he's this abusive gaslighting person.
Yeah.
And now you undercut actual cases
of
gaslighting.
Yeah.
So, and it works both ways. It's not just a men v women issue or anything like that.
But there's other things as well. There's that people going, oh, you're gaslighting me. You're getting, you like, so that, and to accuse someone of that.
Yeah.
You're like, no, I'm not. I'm just saying, can you just flush the toilet? can you just put stuff away when you've used it? I'm not gaslighting you. I just don't want to live like a pig.
But that's all. So you've got to understand that. I think it's because, I think one of the main issues that isn't ever talked about with masculinity or anything like that, or mental health issues, is two generations ago, we had a group of people who watched their friends die because they had bombs dropped on them, or went and fucking clubbed Germans to death and then came back and started singing lullabies to a generation of kids. And then you've had those generations have raised my generation. So there's an issue there, because we still have this idea that we fought the good war, some just war. Like, there's reasons we tell ourselves why we fought in World War II. It wasn't for them reasons, but history is written by the victor. And also, we remember, memory's a fickle thing. We remember things very differently.
Of course.
So we have to tell ourselves those things to feel better. And I think that's where a lot of the problems comes from, is we're still... You look at how Britain looks at itself from that war. How do we think of the war? We think of it as like Chaz and Dave playing the piano and all of that. Over in Europe, do you know how they see that war? You turn up to villages and you're like, where's all the old men? And they're like, oh, they all got shot.
They all got killed,
And we're like, run, rabbit, run, rabbit. And this generation of people have had to raise groups of people. So I think we're still dealing with things like that, and that's not what's talked about. And it's so easy to just go like, men are the problem and men are this. But I don't think that, and I can understand why people do it, but I don't think you're ever going to get allies. It's like what you're saying, when people commenting on your Facebook post.
Yeah.
They're not trying to win you round and be like, hey, Rich, here's why you're not a woke feminist. which is the argument they're trying to come up with. They're going, no, fuck you. And we now live in an environment where it's acceptable to do that, where it's acceptable to go, fucking men are the issue. I'm not the issue. I'm just trying to fucking go do my show and then go down to kickboxing. You know what I mean? I ain't trying to oppress anyone.
No.
I mean, don't get me wrong. If I had the power, maybe I would.
There's a dictator in all of us.
Yeah. But for now, I'm just trying to chill.
Peace and love, man. Peace and love.
The minute I get a second of power, though. Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. But you don't have to worry about me. I'm lazy. I'm not going to get into any position of power.
You're the laziest dictator I've ever met.
I'd be there going, yeah, we need to get those trains. We'll draw a train timetable. Fuck it, let them live. You need to take them to the camps. Well, how are we going to get the funding? I don't know. I've got
FIFA.
Exactly.
This weed's really strong.
Fuck it.
But there is that. I say it in my show, talking about, there's a reason. Socially, economically, the sexes should be more equal. Of course they should. But on a basic level, physically, there are differences between men and women.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is it's because when you put those together, it's like a jigsaw puzzle. It works.
Yeah.
So we become a team and we're like, right, Now we can move forward, all of us, and we can survive and protect and do all that, and that's how it works. because when the zombies come, I'm telling you, you're going to want to stand next to the most masculine person, because they're the one, when you're going, oh, I think that latte was a bit hot. No, he's got a hammer and he's going to put it through that zombie's head. You're sitting around going, yeah, but I know they're zombies, but they're people as well. You're going, no, it's going to kill us.
That's the thing, man. That's the thing. Like, masculinity is bad at the moment until World War III happens. And then you need me drafted.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. That's
Who's gonna peel them onions and who's gonna go out and kick ass?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'll be the first one to die in the war. I'll be the first
die. Over the top.
Just the first guy to die. Not even killed by the enemy, no, I just slipped.
On the onions.
but and I'm sure masculinity can create was, and I think what there is there's a lot men can learn from women, and the way women deal with their emotions,
yeah,
the way
man.
Women process their emotions is a wonderful thing that more men should look at. And men, like, because I can see through the bullshit of masculinity, man. Like, when I see a group of lads on a night out, you're fucking all of that stuff, I just want to go home and be like, bro, what's going on, man?
Yeah,
relax,
mate.
If a guy comes over to me, like if people found out I do a martial art or something, and they come over and the first thing they want to talk about is a fight that they've won or a fight that they've been in. I'm just like, oh man, come on.
Yeah.
Why don't we just get our dicks out and see who's a bit like, if you just want to do this.
But that's it, isn't it? It comes from a place of insecurity.
Yeah.
Because I remember when I was 18, 19, I remember going to the pub with my dad. And I remember just getting pissed and just talking about fighting.
Yeah, man.
And I'm like, because I felt insecure.
Yeah.
I was with my dad and.
He wouldn't impress off to his mates.
Yeah, man.
It's but it works in anything. It's like the same way, like something like even drugs. If someone's like, we got this bit of coke the other night. I tell you, it was like straight for Colombia. I was doing massive lines of it. And I'm like, well, no, it wasn't obviously then for Colombia because you would have died.
Like, exactly,
what they were selling that in 30 quid down the Crown, were they? Pablo Escobar's link down there. Fuck off.
Helicoptered it in.
Yeah. Had El Chapo bring him personally. Get out of it. Like, but it's like. That is, men, we feel we've got to do that, we've got to show, because it's the same way in like a group of lads, mate. One of the things I think as a comedian is good, one of the things I will say in comedy is good is that I've done from a young age is I've been bullied as a comedian, but that's a good thing, because I remember like I'd walk into green rooms and you'd have the likes of like Glenn Wall going for me and people like that, just masters of comedy going for us. So when we used to play football with each other and I'd turn up and I'd just have fun. There was a thing in that, the thing I would say about that, that I can see disappearing now in comedy is like, no, we need to be nice in green rooms and stuff. I'm like, you want to go into, because one, it's a sound of love, and two, what is said in that green room makes you tougher, because then anything heckled at you, anything said to you on stage is nothing compared to what a professional person who, you can walk into a green room and you will be made to feel insecure about things you didn't know you should be insecure about. But that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And then you eventually learn to accept them. So now it's like, yeah, I've got a big nose and crooked teeth. What the fuck? What? Is that your... That's your... Who gives a fuck? And it just makes you a bit better that you're just cool with it.
But it's a sign of a lot of men in these groups. It's a sign that... It's a sign of love.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's when they're not taking a piss out of you.
That's when it's bad, isn't it?
Yeah. Because you're not involved. You're not included. They don't care about you.
Yeah.
Whereas if they're, you know... Especially, I've had this before, and I used to take it badly. I'd come off stage, and I'd just go, what the fuck was that? But you've just had a smashing gig.
Yeah.
And it's certain people, I started to realise, like, oh, no, that's them.
That's Alistair at Birmingham Glee. Like,
oh, man.
The thing you do not want to hear is... That was a good set. You don't, because that's a bad sign. And you want to come off and hear him go, well, you'll get him next time. You need that, otherwise you...
He's brutal. He's
brutal, but it's a sign of endearment. Yeah. It means, don't worry, you're in here, you're cool. But that's... But I think it's a good thing to have, you know, like... It just makes you a bit tougher and it makes you accept things. And I think that's a good thing about... being a dude, the one thing I do love about it is that as much as you can ever be like, you should get female friends and that, I know I don't have any female friend. I think I could sit there and for 30 minutes berate her looks without giving her some sort of complex. But like, one of my best mates, one of the best comedians, Kyle Humphries, he's a fucking ugly guy. Like, let's be real about it. I can sit there for hours and just take Kai's looks apart and he won't bat an eyelid.
No.
He won't bat an eyelid.
But all of that lot, your group of mates,
yeah.
we hear stories like you, and I've even seen you lot on a night out occasionally at festivals and that, and you're like properly on it,
yeah,
like really going for it, and then there's that relentless banter, and there's all I've seen it online, you're
all the time.
But what I found truly brilliant was when you had some proper heavy shit go down.
Yeah,
with one of your crew.
So yeah, someone in our group. Well, there was a sexual assault and things like that that happened, and when we found out about it, I say like I did any. A few boys in the group handled it miraculously.
Yeah,
offered, didn't just like it wasn't just like kick this person out of the group and make sure. Offered to get them help as well, and also the one thing that we made sure we did was when we did gigs, we'd inform people who worked at gigs not to try to stop this person getting work, because my thing was like, I have good friends at gigs who are girls and stuff like that, that they should not be alone in a room with this person. No. They should not be in a room with this person. And it's important to put the safety of others beforehand when this has happened. Because what it sort of showed me, to be honest, Rich, was like, it changed a lot of my mind on a lot of things, because I think as a guy, you do have blinkers on. It's very easy to say we should call out, toxic male behaviour, but it's not done in front of other men.
No,
our group was part of the manipulation because, as you know, we're a sound group of lads. One person, after they left, we then had a lot of people come up to us and go like, "Man, I always liked you boys, but I never knew why you had them in the group. I never knew why you had them." And we started to realise we were part of the manipulation. We were being as manipulated.
He used you as a shield almost. He's with these top boys, so how could I be? How could I be anything else other than a top boy?
Exactly. Don't get me wrong. We're a good group of lads, but we are idiots. We have our faults.
But fundamentally, and this is what they showed, because it wasn't like you say. You didn't just boot him out of the group and go, "Right, we're not friends with you anymore." You heard the stories, you heard the rumours, and then you came to him and you went, "Right, we've heard this.
Yeah.
What is this? Right, we need to hear your side of it, right?" And this is what I'm assuming happened. And then you listened to him, and then he told you.
Yeah.
Because I remember being with Kai. And Kai was saying, "Right, well, now I've heard it, mate." He's like, "Mate, you've got to go. This is just not on."
Fuck, you can't. I don't know what to do. I still don't feel personally as if I did enough, right? I don't feel any guilt or anything because, like I said, I truly believe we were part of the manipulation.
Yeah, you were all suckered in.
And then there was like, It was weird seeing it all sort of play out in front of us, and I still don't believe it is truly over, because one of the things that I sort of feel is like, part of me goes, what should happen is we should all go and kick this person's head in.
Yeah.
Like, we should go out there, and it's because that will fucking show him. But that doesn't really do anything.
No, it doesn't really help.
But then, in my mind, it does do something, but I'm still wondering, is that like, thing for me taking my anger out on him for the situation that he's caused what he's done to people, like
what he's done to everybody.
But I want to make him feel part of the humiliation that he's put on someone else, because this is a thing about power. Let's not get this twisted. The reason this person has done this is because they've had no power, they don't have any control over their life, so they do this to feel some power over this. So we should fucking go around there and make him feel powerless, but that doesn't actually do anything. I think the thing you need to do is make sure the people that he's done this to are okay, and show them that our community in comedy is actually a very loving one, and that you are allowed to talk about this, and that this person should not be allowed near anyone ever again.
Absolutely.
Because what's fucked up is the way the system works. Is, although we were saying that earlier, I was saying about like gaslighting and things like that, and then being like, just because you have rape allegations, they're fucking hard to prove. They're really hard to prove. That's from what I've seen go on. And don't get me wrong, I can see both sides of it, because they will make the victim relive it.
Yeah.
And that's part of the process of it, is making the victim relive it and then going like, "Well, were you drunk? And well, were you this?" And of course, they are going to do that because they don't. You're innocent until you're proven guilty.
Yeah.
And there's some great things about that in our society, but there is some also, like, that does then mean there's a lot of guilty people who are innocent up until a point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So seeing that going on, like, it changed my mind on a lot of things, and it was a shame that it took that to change my mind on a lot of things, you know.
But like you say, you were suckered in. I mean, I know who we're talking about. Yeah, I've spent time, like, extensive amounts of time with him.
They're a fun person.
In a foreign land. Yeah. And you're brought together because you don't know, you know, you don't know anybody else, so you become friends. And but it's only afterwards you kind of go, yeah, I got that vibe. But I couldn't get my head around it, because I'm like, why?
Yeah. Do you know what happened? Like, you kind of go, oh yeah, you're not surprised.
No.
But if you were to say at the time what is the thing, you wouldn't say it was that.
No.
But then, like, hindsight's 20/20. So, yeah, there's a comedian, one of my good mates, Daniel Sauce, talks about this stuff in the show and does it phenomenally.
Very skillful.
And he sort of described in his great words, you know, to plug Sauce's show, that he fucking needs plugging.
It's on every single fucking bus.
Yeah. But don't worry, Elliot talked about it.
that must be that boost.
Yeah. But that, seeing him talk and seeing how our group was affected by it, and it was fucked up, you know, and there doesn't feel like there has been any justice because of it. And this
person, nothing's happened to him, has it?
No, but I think the one thing I will say is enough people know now that they are against this person. They are avidly, like, you know, fuck that guy. You're a piece of shit, man.
But he hasn't felt any sort of...
Didn't even try change, man. Like, we were saying that you can change, you know, if you learn from something. I don't know if this is something you could learn from, if this is something you could ever redeem yourself from, but if you actively went out there and went, I have got some issues that clearly make me do this kind of thing, I'm going to need to go and get some therapy, I'm going to need to quit the drink and the drugs.
Yeah.
I'm going to need that, because otherwise I am a danger to other people.
Yes.
That would be a start. You know, that would be a huge start. And then maybe in some way people would be able to find it in their hearts for forgiveness. I don't know if a second chance would happen.
No.
But they would definitely be able to be like, all right, well, I suppose we have a pill to swallow here, in that if we're going to believe in that people can change and become better, this is a huge ask. But there hasn't even been an attempt, and when there's not even an attempt at something like that, it's I don't know. Do you know what? As a young guy watching that, I've just gone, the only thing you can do in your life, if you want the world to change, you've got to change yourself. I'm going to make sure I never become that person.
Never ever
become that person.
And you're more aware now of people like that, like, you know, like manipulative. I mean, that all comes with age anyway, I feel. But even, like, again, like I say that, it comes of age. I was suckered in by him. And so when it all kicked off, like I say, I'm like, oh, shit, I should have seen that coming.
Yeah, but like I said, people who manipulate, this idea that I talk about in my show, that, like, as someone who is doing these kind of things, they never ever, and I can't, it never happened in front of us.
No.
Now, that's not to be said, there wasn't times this person was weird with women in front of us.
Yeah.
It wasn't like great, because look, rape isn't this, like, out of the bush attacker that we grow up believing it is. It's all different kinds of things.
Yes.
And I'd never saw him.
No.
But that's not to say he wouldn't be with women. But then, at the same time, I've probably been a bit weird with girls or something. But I've forgotten how to chat to a girl at a bar. Maybe weirded her out.
Yeah, got it wrong.
Got it wrong. And then someone takes the piss out of me for it.
Yeah.
You know. So that's just a thing that happens. Now, read signals, for fuck's sake. Like, if you're standing there and you're making a girl uncomfortable, fuck off.
Fuck off,
you know.
Yeah.
Like, don't then blame her you know, that it's you know, Mickey Flanagan has that funny bit about, like, going up to chat to some girls and they just go, fuck off, and he turns around and goes to his mates, I only come here on lesbian night. Which is, like, just such a way of, like, guys,
old school
guys look at things. But we were part of the manipulation and we ourselves were manipulated. And this person, the last year or so that we were hanging out, that we saw their mental health in decline. Now, as much as I love comedians, if there's one group you don't want to be in when your mental health's declining, because we're not going to be exactly... Hey, we did tell him to go get therapy a lot of times. But then it is going to be like, well, this is the new bit. These are the new jokes.
That's it.
Here we go again. And this person was a person who used to dish a lot.
Oh man,
they used to. If you, we're talking about, this is someone who, if you sit there and you fucking, I don't know, your drink spills, the next 30 minutes of your life, you were gonna find out how bad you could get it over something so simple. So there was a justification for giving this person shit.
Yes.
But then when we found out these things, it came, it was just shit, man. It's just shit to know that it broke a lot of trust. To know someone who is a friend of yours could do something like that, it really then makes you think like, have I had other mates who were like this and I've just not known? And people can't come forward to you because they feel that you're friends with them, so your natural reaction is going to be like, oh, what the fuck, but that's just what they're like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That's just, they're just, are you sure they weren't just taking the piss out of you, you know?
Yeah, man.
I mean, like, and I don't mean in a way if they've come forward about a sexual assault, I mean, they've come forward going like, this person's an arsehole.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, you just don't get them. You've got a shit sense of humour.
Yeah.
You know,
it's funny actually with Jay, like Jay's all the time, and I thought she was doing that typical girlfriend thing of like, all your mates are assholes, basically. Yeah. But then as I've gone along, I've gone, oh yeah, actually, yeah, that person was an asshole. And then I have to go back and apologize. Babe, you were right. You're absolutely right. They were a dick.
But that's because I think like men, we've got blinkers on.
We have. Yeah.
We do not see that side of things. We can never experience those things that women have to experience, like. When women walk home late at night, must be fucking terrifying.
Oh, dude.
It must be terrifying.
It's funny, actually, last night we were driving home. I pulled up to the traffic lights, and as I pulled up, the car, I'd revved the car, not for any reason, whatever I was doing. And this girl had walked across the traffic lights, and Jade went, and Jade was like, you know, she goes, it's funny. She goes, when you're walking home at night and you hear a car rev, you do, your back does go up.
Fucking hell.
You know, like, that never happens to me.
Yeah, I know, man. It's like that. Like, when I'm walking home, like, at night, and I'm walking on the same path as a woman, I get quite self-conscious.
I do, yeah.
Because I don't want to shout out. I'm not an attacker.
I'm fine.
Yeah. So, you know, have you ever had that thing where you go, I'll cross the road, and then she'll cross the road at the same time, and you're there going,
oh, God.
Or you think, maybe if I walk a bit faster, I can overtake her. And then you're just walking fast.
That's the last thing she needs, is footsteps speeding up.
Oh, no, man. It's
I have gone right round the houses to get home.
Yeah.
Because I've built myself up in such a state. I've gone back the other way. Yeah.
It's you know, but that is that thing. We have the blinkers on when it comes to that stuff, and I still have the blinkers on it. But I was seeing that play out, that a horrific thing to see play out, it really did sort of make me go, okay, I need to try understand things from the other side here. And I think men do need to try to stand things at other times. From the other side, but it needs to be patience.
Yes.
It's not an overnight change.
No, of course not.
It isn't just this, like, especially, you know, guys my age, right? It's not... wokeness is only just starting to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're...
We've got centuries of...
You learn most of the stuff from 0 to 7. That's when you soak most things in. Now, when I was 7 years old and I grew up in a fucking progressive household, I wasn't being taught about wokeness. I was being taught Thomas the Tank Engine. And you see your parents' relationships play out, and you see that, and you will mimic a lot of that as you grow up.
That's right, that's right.
So it needs to be... And I think what's happening at the moment is we're finally just understanding these things, and there's so much anger, and there's so much, like, why can't this happen now?
There's no empathy,
but it's gonna come because we're gonna get better. We're gonna teach. Each generation is gonna get better, and now it's good that like sex ed should be taught at a young age. Porn should be taught at a young age. Well, that's gonna make it. Kids are gonna watch porn anyway.
Of course they are. Yeah,
they're gonna go watch porn anyway. Like, do you teach them about this stuff? You know, it's important because yeah. I was part of the first generation brought up on internet porn, and internet porn is so much of it is based on manipulation.
Yes.
Fake taxis and fake agents. That is what are you telling young men, that it's okay to lie your way into to get what you want. It's fine to present this version of yourself that isn't real.
Yeah.
And it still is socially acceptable to do that. I still do it a little bit. Right. You know, I'm still a little bit, like, you know, now there's lying to get laid, which isn't, like, basically manipulation, you know. It's like, yeah, no, I believe in star signs.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know. Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm at that level. Like, yeah. Oh, no. Are you a Sagittarius? Yeah. Oh, I can tell. Like,
I was thinking about being a vegan.
Yeah. Exactly that. Yeah, you know, going, no, I think The Godfather 3 is as good as part 2. There's that level will do it, but I think with each generation it is going to get a bit better, and it's coming okay for men to talk about their feelings. And even like, even that, bring it back to my mindset, there's big burly blokes who train now who after a session are talking about their feelings after having beaten the fuck out of each other.
Yeah.
And because it's just coming slightly more acceptable now, and it's what we need.
But as you say, it takes time. Just a bit of time.
It's
let's give
us
some exactly patience, man. But it is happening. We've got sports stars like Ricky Hatton, you've got Peter Crouch all coming out and talking about their struggles, and it's so well timed, so needed.
You look at that England football team, Danny Rose was coming out, World Cup, all these people coming back heroes from a World Cup, and Danny Rose was coming out going, you know, I've battled depression, and I'm a guy who gets paid a lot of money, I'm a guy who's living the supposed dream. I'm telling you, it's not you're not going to find your happiness in the world. You might be able to solve financial problems,
of course,
you know, with money and things like that, but I truly believe, like, you look at the comforts of life that I have, and I want to be a lot richer than I am, but I live a pretty comfortable life, my parents, like, for as fucked up as they are, there was always food on the table,
exactly,
there was always things like that. But I'm still miserable.
Yeah, I know.
And there's people out there who are just like, all I want to do is, like, you know, have what I have, but I'm still looking up because that's how, like, sort of latest stages of capitalism work. You're going to be made to constantly look up and push because you're in this machine that is constantly, you've got to earn this and earn that ticket. Your value isn't going to, you know, the next thing that I'm having to learn is that I'm not going to get self-worth from designer clothes. I'm not going to get self-worth from, even though I'm doing it now, like, that's not where my self-worth is going to come from, but I still do it.
Yeah, of course.
So that's the next thing I'm having to try and learn.
That's it. Like, instead of using these, you think, oh, if I get that pair of trainers, that's going to change my life.
That's going to be it.
Now you just go, no, I'm going to wear them because I like them.
Yeah.
That's all that is.
Yeah.
That is all that is. It doesn't solve anything.
Yeah,
it makes me feel good because I'm wearing nice things, but it's not the answer.
Yeah.
And I think it's that, is looking around, just going, fuck me, I exist.
Yeah.
That should be it. You go, what?
But we're all caught up in this, like, this rat race of, like, things going on, this, that, and the other, and, like, you know, and it's very easy to do Edinburgh as an example. You're going to walk past places of people with stars all across the
world. Yeah, man,
like,
already.
I'm putting work and I have.
Yeah.
And as you look at what actually. Am I going on stage? And I know people listening might be thinking that I'm just accumulating everything to comedy. But you can do it with everything.
Yeah.
Am I, you know, take, like I said, the Berghaus, which is like the fucking...
The architecture stuff.
It's, oh, I can't remember what it's exactly called, but, like, you can apply little bits of logic to sort of everything.
Bauhaus.
Like, Bauhaus, that's the
Bauhaus.
Like, I'm almost smart.
You knew what it was.
I'm always I'm an accent away from being considered intelligent.
We've got a working class intelligence, we know. But it's almost like if I pronounce it properly, I'll get beaten up.
Yeah. It was basically like, yeah, I'm dumb, but I've listened to the Joe Rogan podcast.
So I've tried. I get all my information.
That's as good as trying as I can do.
Yeah.
But that's it. But, like, you know, and I think things actually like the Joe Rogan podcast and podcasts like this are just important because it's good, because, you know, now I'm able to see that there's men like me, like yourself, Rich, you're a geezer, that there's things where I'm able to see blokes talking about stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what we need.
And
just learning little bits. I mean, you know, don't listen to too much stuff, because then the algorithms will then give you things that are like, feminist destroyed by Jordan Peterson, and then you can go,
you get adverts for bras in you.
Then you're going to go the other route and start watching a lot of Japanese cartoon porn. But then, you know what I mean?
So, yeah, I've been down that hole.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
That's what they got octopuses in pairs of tights. What's going on?
I didn't know I needed that.
Here we are.
But yeah, but that's it, man. That's what it is. And, always try to improve yourself a little bit, and you know, the boys around you, and you'll be good, man. That's what
you sound like, a wise man.
I smoke a lot of weed.
But ever since I met you, I've when we used to play football, I straight away just like, he's a good lad, and I've always been a big fan of your dad, so it's nice. It's really nice to
know you lot. Thanks for having me on.
But yeah, Elliot's around, and you play all the major comedy clubs and down the country.
Aye.
Rising star, man. Elliot, thanks, man.
Thanks, Rich.
Insane in the Membrane.
So there we are. Elliot's still there. Again, what a lovely, lovely young man. Really, really love talking to him. Very, very sensitive subject that we were talking about there. He was pleased to get it off his chest. As we say all the time on this podcast, you know, don't just bottle it up, talk about it, you know, get it out there. And if someone's done something that, you know, a friend of yours that you're not happy with, and you know, talk to them about it, tell them, you know. It's the best thing, for them. So, anyway, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you again next time.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.